as we're in the celebration, God coming to the earth. I remember when we sent men to the moon, the news reporter said, "This is the greatest event of human history." And as soon as he said it, I said, "No, greatest event of human history wasn't when we went out there, but when God came here." And so that's what we are celebrating with the Christmas season. Thank you, Jesus. Well, time of giving, we want to celebrate Jesus. We would rather give ourselves. Let's give ourselves to each other, which is what we've been doing, getting together. You're going to be going really to love one another. I think all this frantic stuff has just ruined what we used to know as Christmas. And so kind of getting back, well, what is the very essence of this Christmas? And so we go back to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So God actually defined what love is by giving. Love is self-sacrificial giving. Love says, "What can I give to you, regardless of what it costs me? How can I be a blessing to you?" Lust is just the opposite of that. Lust says, "What can I get for me, regardless of what it costs anyone else?" So God so loved. Of course, that's the greatest gift of all, is the love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But then, what came with His Son? We find that it was eternal life in 1 John 5. It says, "If you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life." Growing up, people, they would talk, you know, like eternal life was some kind of a contract. We do funerals. They want us to come in and do a funeral. And they said, "Well, we know, you know, Johnny prayed a prayer 30, 40 years ago. He prayed the prayer. He never read his Bible, never went to church. You know, doesn't care anything about God, but we know he made it. You know, so I want you to preach, you know, and tell the people he made it." That's ridiculous. Yeah. And of course, then others, you know, he said, "Well, eternal life." Even in Bible colleges, "Well, when does eternal life start?" They would say, "Well, eternal life starts when you die. That, you know, you die and then you go into eternal life." And then others would say, "Oh no, eternal life starts when you're born again." And of course, that's as ridiculous as the other. Because by definition, it can't have a beginning. If it's eternal, it can't start. And it can't end. Because it's eternal. And so what is this gift? Well, the gift of eternal life is actually a person. It is the person of Jesus. And so, looking at our scripture there, then, "And this is the testimony, that evidence, God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who possesses the Son has that life. He who does not possess the Son of God does not have that life. I write this to you who believe in, adhere to, trust in, rely on the name of the Son of God, in the peculiar services and blessing conferred by Him on men, so that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have life." Yes, eternal life. God gave us His Son, and His Son is eternal life. The little kids always get it right. Jesus came into my heart. And when Jesus comes in, I love the way Oswald Chambers puts it. He said, "Unless you've received something from above that's come into you, then you're not born again." It's not a contract. It's a receiving of a person. It's actually receiving God into ourselves. And we're born from above. We are born again. Okay? So we have everlasting life, abundant life, overwhelming life, resurrection life. And of course, it just keeps on going. I love that the Romans 8:32 said, "He that spared not his son, how will he not with his son freely give us all things?" Yes. Yeah. If he gave us the very best first, he's not going to be stingy now. And to me, that's what the whole story, the good news, the gospel. We can call it the old story, like the hymn. You know, I love to sing the old story, but it's a very true story of God who has entered us, Emmanuel, God with us. See, that's the true Christmas. It's not all of this, got to make more money, giving of ourselves like God gave himself. And then the scripture in Matthew, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" If we know how to give good gifts to our kids, and God knows far better, and he knows exactly what we need. And then it goes on, "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men," Ephesians 4, verse 8. And it's real interesting when you're looking at this, the New Testament was written in Greek, and the word gift, we just have the one English word, but there are multiple Greek words to tell what the gift is. This particular word that he's using here is God gave himself. God gave himself. He put himself into people, into men, and they became apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So when you see someone who has that spiritual gift of evangelism, for instance, well, that spirit would be the actual spirit of Jesus, because Jesus is the apostle, Jesus is the prophet, Jesus is the evangelist, Jesus is the shepherd or the pastor, and Jesus is the teacher. God divided Jesus out into people, and they became apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Then the Greek word changes, and he gave these people to the church for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's better than anything you can put under a tree.
That's right.
These wonderful gifts of God giving himself. The whole thing is God giving himself. And then it becomes our turn. And in Romans, Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So in turn, now as a reciprocal response of God giving himself, we turn around and give ourselves to him. Because I love this verse in the Amplified Bible, because it says, this is our reasonable service and spiritual worship. Because to Paul, service was so much more than serving in the church, doing duties. It was a whole giving of yourself for the benefit of others. How can I be a blessing? What can I do? And so when I was raised in the Baptist church, so, you know, 9:45 Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship service. But do we worship? Do we go in there to worship? Or do we go to sing songs, listen to a sermon, give our money, and go home? Where is the giving of yourself? See, that's, to me, that's worship. Worship is more than singing songs and going through the motions of this service unto God, service to the body of Christ, and service to the lost. A few more scriptures I want to share with you. But let's look at some of these. James 1:17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, comes down from the Father of all that gives light." I love that. I love the Father who gives light. So every good and every perfect gift comes from above. How many times during this season, if you're walking through Walmart or any of the stores, and people talk, "Well, I'm looking for that perfect gift for so-and-so." And I'd say 99% of the time, they never find that perfect gift. Fact is, people, that's the reason why they have returns right after Christmas. Because they want to turn it back in and get something else. The something else they get isn't perfect either. Because there's only one perfect gift, and that's God. He is life. He is love. He is our joy. He is our peace. They're all looking for that perfect gift, but they're looking on earth. James says it actually comes from above. The perfect gift comes from above. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So now it tells us where to go shopping. You look above to receive from above. Now the word seek means to require by necessity. But if you want an illustration of seek, turn on the news. When Apple came out with a new iPad and iPad Mini and the iPhone 5, people stayed up all night. Some of them set up tents, and they were there days ahead of time for the store to open at midnight. I looked at church to see if people did that. I didn't find anyone. What if we were as interested in receiving gifts from above as they are in buying iPads or iPhones? Mm-hmm. What if we had that same diligence? It doesn't matter how cold it is out there, how long it takes. I'm going to camp out until I find God, until I'm blessed, until I know these rich treasures that God is freely giving. God's not selfish with any of it. No. But he does ask us to seek him. That means when he gives it, we'll be ready to receive it. That's the way I am for God. I'm desperate. I heard a man the other day said, when you're born again, you get all of the Holy Spirit that you'll ever receive the moment you're born again. And I thought, maybe you did, but I'm nowhere near receiving all the Holy Spirit I'm going to receive. Because the scripture says, seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking. Mm-hmm. Ask and keep on asking. How much more will a Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, to seek him, to require by necessity? I can't live without you type of seeking. And so let the world demonstrate what real seeking is like. We're talking about, I think Dick Carter ever made it over into this area. He came to Kansas City a lot. Southern Baptist man, Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and moved in the gifts of the Spirit, ministered all over the world. Powerful. I know I've mentioned him before, but when he would come to the Berean Baptist Church in Kansas City, you'd come in a back door on the side, and he would walk in, and our back would be to him. And you could actually feel him walk in, even though he was still 10 pews away from you. You could actually feel him walk in. And people say, oh yes, I would love to be like that. I don't know how many times he fasted for 40 days at a time. How many months that he would pray 16 hours a day, day in and day out. Well, if they can do that waiting for an iPad, and Dick Carter can, you know, how desperate are we is my question. I remember when I was a kid at Christmas time, it was like, Christmas will never come. You know, it's like, because you had such an expectation of the day. It's like, I can't wait for it to get here. You know, my parents didn't have anything, and you know, there wouldn't be hardly anything, you know, for us. But there was still that excitement, that expectation. You know, well, I still have that same expectation, but it's for not the baby, but the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
And the fullness of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that God has to give to us. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, remember when we stayed that way back, we said it was rich resources. Grace is what you get. Mercy eliminates you from getting what you deserve. So mercy cuts off the negatives. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So because of the mercy of God, we don't die. Jesus died in our place. Grace, then, is the positive what you get. It's what you receive, what God is giving you. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. That sounds pretty good to me. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance to every good work and charitable donation. So the plan of God is to receive from Him, pass it on. Freely you have received, freely give. So it's receiving and giving. People tell me, well, I read my Bible, but I don't seem to get anything out of it. Or I pray and my prayers just don't seem to be going anywhere. The problem is that we're just thinking about ourselves. When you begin to think about others, when you're reading the Bible with other people's needs in mind, it's just so alive. When you're thinking about ministering to others, we've taken people that, I'm not very good at reading, and I don't get a whole lot out of it. And I say, well, would you teach a Sunday school class? Well, I don't know. But they start reading the Bible with the thought of teaching a Sunday school class. And all of a sudden, that Bible is just, I can hardly sleep at night. I start getting revelation upon revelation upon revelation. Jesse's like, well, just get up and write it down. Stop flipping over. Because I can't sleep. Just go in your office and write it all down. And I'd be all night. But it's because I'm preparing to give away. Mm-hmm. Preparing to give away. So God is able to give to you so that you can give away to others. 2 Peter 1:3 says that God will give us everything we need for life and godly spiritual existence and living. So this is the true Christmas. This is what God set up. What we're seeing now is this, because the love of God is starting to expand in the body of Christ. Remember, not too long ago I did the teaching on that. The one thing He said to do was to love one another. The only thing we haven't got around to yet is loving one another. Yeah. But when all denominational walls start coming down, and the body of Christ really begins to be the body of Christ, not only will the body of Christ flourish, but also those that are lost will be born again, because they will see something. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. See, witnessing isn't just going around talking to people about God. Witnessing is how you live. So that people are interested. They walk up and say, there's something different about you. So that's the whole point. Receive and give. Receive and give. It's not a frantic rush for the store. It's going, seeking out of heavenly places that which God has already prepared. You don't have to go for something different or new. God's already prepared it way ahead of time, more than we'll ever need. And all we have to do is draw out of heaven and give it away. Draw out of heaven and give it away. Draw out of heaven and give it away. My God shall supply all of your needs, thy riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. And the word by there, the Greek word for that, is down through. So it's down through Jesus. So all these gifts that we're talking about is what the Father gave to Jesus. If the Father didn't give it to Jesus, all your begging won't help. The Father gave it to Jesus. Then it belongs to you and it belongs to me. It's ours. Just simply because He gave it to the one who lives inside. So really enjoy the season. But enjoy it in God's terms, God's way. Love people. Just love people. And You never know what just a touch of love will do. You never know, just an act, a word that you say, something will transform a life. That's better than any Christmas. That's better than any gift you can give. It's that good, it's that perfect gift. Eternal life. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.